Oh, I recognize that face. You're in trouble, aren't you? Well, I'll take you out to the Outer Rim, but I don't think it's going to do you much good. Why? Well, there's a new bounty hunting group. You haven't heard?
There's a Two-Faced Twi'lek and a Pugilist Droid. If I were you, I'd do my best to avoid the Solonian Captain and the Gandroid Tech. Better watch your back or you're gonna get wrecked. The riding on the sky on fire. Heading to the edge of the Empire. Your number's up and now you gotta pay. Running from the heroes of the Hadean Way.
Previously on Heroes of the Hadean Way, following the third and final lead from their benefactor, Venlana, the crew of the Sky on Fire land at a local diner for a little bit of lunch and some light slicing. Cab set about peeling back the layers of security on the CelluQuest site at the diner's terminal. Unfortunately, the other occupants of the diner took an interest in making Cab terminal. Timely intervention from Berowyn, Billy, and Vistrano kept the Veiled Sorority's goons busy, but the slicing efforts were prematurely ended. Cav joined the fray, hoping the crew could escape with their newly acquired information. But is it enough? Find out on this week's episode, The Best Laid Plans.
Welcome to Heroes of the Hadean Way. This is a live play podcast that explores published adventures in the Fantasy Flight Games Star Wars RPG line. Our current adventure is Mask of the Pirate Queen, and this is Act 1, Episode 6. I'm Ben, the GM for this adventure.
All right, who ordered 4 fried keto birds and a fizzy glug and a chocolate cake? A whole cake?
Yes, Cav needs the calories. You can bring the food over to this droid tech right over here.
All right. I got an Alderanian waffle with a side of bantha bacon.
That's mine. You can put it on the table there, and I'll eat it when we're done with this firefight.
Seems good. Chai with a shot of Twi'lekian cream?
That would be my order, please.
You're a droid.
I know.
That sounds delicious.
Whatever. And lightly poached eggs. Yeah, room temperature.
Oh, thank you very much. I'll take that right over here. Right over there, yeah.
Y'all know we're not liable for any of this, right?
Cav hopes this thing has insurance.
It's not the first mess we've made today.
I was referring to the food.
Yes, that too.
Oh, yeah, uh-huh.
To learn more about our characters, we get one hero to ask another a question. Today we'll get Vistrano to ask.
So, Cav, in your culture, have you ever heard of anyone from another species giving a Gand a nickname? Or would that be considered very rude?
A nickname, Vistrano? A nickname? A Gand's name is their identity and their status. For a being to twist that is to demean the Gand and our culture. A nickname is a far worse offense than referring to a Gand by a lesser name or as Gand.
Well, usually they're meant as a term of endearment.
Yes, and if Cav is being honest, other beings do nickname Gand somewhat frequently. Some Gand even accept them, such as Osluke Eightfingers, but like a name, the nickname becomes a part of that Gand's identity and being. Cav has also heard of Gand who adopt a nickname as their personal name upon earning one, such as the great Gandhi Cav.
Duly noted, I will be... Cav works.
Oh, Cav is relieved. Cav thought that Vistrano was going to try to nickname Cav.
No, I would never ever think of such a thing.
I called Cav Shades for the first 2 weeks that we knew each other. Don't call Cav Shades.
Cav was very confused.
Confused? Alright, so...
Oh gosh. I was not actually prepared for how angry Cav got.
Did you have a nickname prepared?
I tried to warn you, like, Cav was going to be indignant at first, and then I was going to roll right into, but actually, yeah, that happens.
Oh no, I knew. I knew indignant. I just didn't.
Did you have one?
Yelling.
Yeah, I think Cav was largely messing with Vistrano, if that helps.
No, I didn't have one, but I was trying to think of one the entire last episode.
We come back to the Hydean heroes as they are in the middle of a firefight in a diner. The computer terminal that Cav was just attempting to slice into the Sororinet data structures has been destroyed through blaster fire. Vistrano has taken a blaster shot. Billy's been thrown to the side, and Berwin has taken a shock glove punch to the chest. All the while, a Barabel was knocked on their tail by the good doctor as they slid into their kill team's feet as the kill team brought up their blaster pistols to shoot at Vistrano and the heroes. We come to the second round of combat, starting with a PC.
Did Cav and Vistrano get into cover?
I'm pretty sure that they did.
I was yanked away and given a stim pack was the last thing that I recall.
Yeah, I used my action to try to pull Vistrano into cover.
Okay.
If you were still exposed, Barrowin would want to field commander first thing, but if you're uncover, you're...
I think we are now. Now Cav hasn't drawn a weapon or anything yet. That'll be coming whenever Cav gets a turn. So I think we're probably okay for right now if you need to actually take somebody out.
Well, somebody else can go first, or I can also go first anyway. I just
If Billy's going first, she's just going to throw a table, so whatever.
Cav goes, Cav's going to start trying to stun people.
Because Cav does not have Cryot's breath.
No, that is currently it's currently back aboard the ship.
No, this is the 50s sci-fi weapon.
All right, so who's doing which? Okay, so I'm just sort of waiting for Vistrano to go all Jason Statham on the minions.
I think Cav should go.
You think Cav should go?
Yeah, well, Cav just dramatically pulled Vistrano into a place of safety, so now Cav can dramatically leap out and just go pew, pew, pew. All cool-like.
Sure. Cav will go ahead and go. So Cav is going to use a maneuver to draw Cav's Ion Stunner, which is, as Leslie mentioned, it's this goofy little weapon that has like a radar dish on the front instead of a traditional barrel. Cav looks over Cav's shoulder, notices K6 running back and forth, screaming, and Cav is going to just issue an order of
K6 over here.
And K6 will just like fly over, and Cav will kind of just grab the little thing and shove it underneath the table as Cav pops up and is going to fire at the minion group.
All right. So they do have one range defense. I'm going to go with there is enough going on environmentally around here that they get another setback. Or you get another setback for shooting at them. Ugh. I'm just going with everyone gets a setback for environmental goings on because you've got spray foam coming down from the ceiling. Surprisingly enough, there's like little cake topper things over everyone's meals, except for Cavs, which is like three.
Oh, we've got the little glass serving domes.
Yeah.
This is exactly. A classy place. I feel bad.
Yeah, you've got fire suppressant foam coming down. You've got a bunch of cans of whatever it is rolling around back there. Yeah, there's just enough going on. Like, there's even smoke from the terminal. I'm just going with, yeah, there's just an environmental setback. And they do have a range defense. So that would be a...
A purple and two setback?
Yeah, purple and two setback.
Actually, it's a good question. So with all the cans and all the chaos there, is that imposing a setback to them or is it imposing a boost to me, perhaps?
I was going with that imposes a setback to them.
That's fair. So I am going to take two strain to aim. So I've got a yellow after the destiny point flip, two green, a blue versus the purple and two setbacks. Hey, Cav hit! So that will be 8 stun damage to the minion group. I have something a little bit unorthodox for the 4 advantages. I guess this might be treated as perhaps the 3 for like a disarm maneuver. Since Cav is sort of having a more dramatic moment or like hero moment, Cav pops up, fires, and one of the ion shots actually hits a blaster pistol, shorting it out right out of one of the minion's hands. Could that be a thing?
Okay.
I mean, the other two still have weapons, but that is 8 stun.
Sure. I'm going to go with, yeah, that's enough stun to actually knock one of them out, and yeah, I'll go with it disarms X. I don't really like splitting disarm that way. I'm going to... You're going to think of it being more generous. I'm just being more easy on my paperwork. So yeah, it's actually just disarming the three of them. Essentially what this stun bolt has done is I caught the one in front with full force, and the other ones, it has shorted out their blaster pistols.
Okay. In that case, is that I think that should probably be all 4 advantages then, since you're doing me a solid. So, so they're all just holding kind of smoking weapons right now that are currently dead from the ion energy. And then Cav will kind of duck back down, you know, using the table for some cover beside Vestrano. Cav is going to ask, is Vestrano okay?
Yes.
All right, and that'll be it for my turn. Let me do the init next. I've remembered. It'll never happen again. Unfortunately, I think somebody else forgot to do the init next, but that person was me.
Yeah, you went last
so
time.
You did yourself remember. To blame. You just remembered belatedly and remembered again.
Yeah, your previous turn lasted for like half an hour.
I don't know. It more or less lasted like a week there.
I'm the worst.
Shh, you're fine.
Yeah, cross 2 episodes. Uh-huh. Okay, so we've got an NPC, of which we've got NPCs around. So I'm thinking that these yahoos are going to descend upon. Yeah, I'm thinking they're going for Cav. Because they got up, Bearbell told them to go after the person at the computer. The person at the computer is now shot and disabled their blaster pistols. So they are going to pull out a vibro knife, the three of them, and they are going to be coming at and trying to stab at Cav.
Okay, and yeah, I think Cav's on the outer side of the booth because Cav is probably trying to get Vestrano more like in the corner of safety. And Cav is probably panicking a little bit as they're coming close because Cav is not a melee fighter. So you just deal with normal melee stuff, Ben. The two purple, I got no defense.
These kill team members are somewhat, shall we say, annoyed. I'm going to go with... I'm flipping a destiny point also because I've got like 6 of them.
Face.
Maybe. It depends on what they roll and if they crit me. Hopefully not literally the front of my face.
How the back of your head.
Cav needs that.
Cav's rather attached to that head.
Environmental setback plus a setback.
From the cans.
Yeah. Setback from the cans, setback from just everything. And we shall see.
Ooh.
Cav is just flailing wildly and like kicking up at them. I'm like, there's no skill here. There's just dumb luck and panic that is sort of keeping the knives from stabbing Cav. Like, I think like the bench seat gets stabbed beside Cav and the Cav rolls and then the table gets stabbed through and Cav somehow manages not to get hurt.
Pretty much. It sort of turns into more of a Jackie Chan defensive thing than into anything structured. And like they go to stab, it's somehow between Cav's fingers, jerking their hand back, that sort of thing. Yeah.
That's our Cav causing mayhem wherever they go.
What's the advantage?
They knock Cav's cake off the table.
No!
Not just a piece. The whole cake.
The whole cake.
Cav takes off Cav's sunglasses.
That's it. Now Cav gets serious.
Actually, I will go with that. Yes.
Cav takes a setback because... No!
The chocolatey goodness is gone.
You ate a biscuit off the top of a booth.
Well, no, okay, like, it does get knocked over, but it's a little worse than what you're thinking, because it's getting knocked over in that sort of glass tray thing, but there's still fire foam spraying down, so the entire, like, it's on its top, the icing is now on the top of the cake protector, and it's just filling up with fire foam now. So it's not just a completely awash with this, like, chemicals that even a Gand wouldn't try and eat.
Oh, Cav really needs that sugar high.
And now we are to two PCs.
I think Vastrana should probably do something awesome, given we're getting pinned in a quarter and Cav is being stabbed at.
Yeah, so I wanted to clarify, you pulled us underneath a booth table?
Yes. So we're kind of like nestled between, I think, like the bench of the booth and the table. We were using it as cover when this was a gunfight, and now it's all of a sudden become a knife fight, and Cav is not prepared.
Okay, so I think then the only reasonable reaction to this is to stand up real quick and flip the table at the guy.
Ooh, I support it. Environmental weapons.
I'm strong. It does say that it's covered under interact with the environment maneuvers.
Yeah. Totally.
And then there's that guy that was just stabbing at Cav. So I think that...
Not one guy. There was three.
It's the minions.
Well, yeah, okay. So standing up real quick, trying to flip the table in their general direction. And then the one that looks like it is the most actively stabbing at Cav, go to punch.
All right.
More like a pungy, cool. a lungy punch.
A pungy lunch?
I can't talk.
So in that case, it in the end will be one purple, one red, and two setback for the difficulty. On account of... I'm just sort of feeling that the force is being a bit of a hindrance at the moment.
And that's totally fair, because I have one will, and it says that I should not be super cool right now.
Your hair is askew.
No. Oh, okay, I got a failure and a threat.
Oh, the dice are not kind.
I said that it was a lungy punch, so it is. It just feel like I probably flip the table at them and then maybe kind of like trip over it as I'm trying to lunge punch and just fling myself off. Like I just flail fall.
All right, that kind of works. What I'm just sort of thinking is, as you're doing that to them, like there's just so much around here that is slippery. You slip and go skidding forward, sort of halfway in between everyone, with this big rooster tail of fire foam going up in the air for a moment.
Can we say, just to like rub salt in Vastrana's wounds here, because that is a threat, that like some of the chocolate from that cake, I just slide into it with my nice white coat.
Oh no.
We're gonna have a scene after this of like all of us going back to the sky on fire and just needing to like shower and change our clothes and just like
everybody calls dibs on the shower.
None of this is dignified.
Nope.
And so we've got another PC slot. We've got Berylyn or Billy, the two B's.
Leslie, do you want to try and put down the bearer bell before he gets back up? Because he's gonna go next.
Let's say there's three of you and three of them. So yeah, I think I could walk over and just...
You've also still got encouraging words floating around, so I can assist.
What does that technically do? Do I have to try and do the same kind of check?
Or is no, it, just it says your next check in this encounter.
Okay. So Billy kind of shoves herself up out of the stools, looks over, no clue what's happening in the spray foam and the cake and the table flipping and the mayhem. Looks over, sees Captain Boss Pants, still kind of out of it. Like, we're going to just hopefully tie up that loose end first. So she kind of steps carefully through the goo and the mayhem and goes for a kind of almost a superhero landing, but a punch instead.
Okay.
That full wind up and then down.
Totally getting a boost off of that.
Yes.
And since I'm not better than you at any brawling things, my assistance is just going to amount to a boost also.
Hey, I'll take boosts.
Okay. So this is still going to be a two purple, two setback, because you also do kind of have to find him in the foam.
Okay. All right. So that is one success and two advantage.
Oh, he's prone, isn't he?
He is, yes.
I think melee attacking somebody who's prone is another boost.
Oh, shoot. You're right. I forgot about that. Toss in another boost.
Yeah, it makes you harder to hit at range, but easier to hit at melee.
Yeah.
I want to point out these first two boosts were very kind to you.
Yeah.
And this one showed up too. So that ended up being a really ridiculous roll of two yellow, one green, three boost, two purple, two setback, with a net of one success and three advantage.
That's a decent net.
But I'd like to point out, Billy has her vibro knuckles out, which crit at
two. Are you actually hurting somebody?
Are you actually hurting? I was the first person to murder people on this show. Excuse you. Yeah, I pretzeled those guys.
Okay. So, how much damage do you do?
Not enough.
And what's your pierce?
Okay, so it's brawl.
Yep.
So is that my brawn?
Yeah, it's your brawn.
Plus one, so that's four, plus the success is five.
Okay.
I have pierce one on these.
Okay.
So that's five minus the one from soak there. And I do have vicious one as well, so when it crits with a plus 10.
Okay. I have a proposition for you.
Yes, my dear.
All right. So I'm going to go with, you know, in action movies where someone comes along pretty much doing exactly what you're doing before someone can get up, and then they just like give them a really, really hard chop at the base of the spine or at the base of their head. It's kind of what I'm imagining that you're doing.
So it's, I kind of walk up like, yeah, it's best if you just don't get up.
Yeah, and then they're out. That's kind of how I'm envisioning it.
Is that how I'm using my advantage?
It would sort of be using all of it, because it would be pseudo a crit, pseudo, because technically only one damage gets through, but if you do that as a crit, so then, yeah, you'd also have one advantage kicking around.
I mean, I'm totally fine taking that. So Billy would just walk up, kind of kneel next to him, and you'd see it just be really fast, just, and then she stands up again and kind of wipes off her hands and turns back to the fight.
And spray foam goes everywhere.
Oh, yeah. So it would look really cool, except for the fact that there's a spray foam thing right above her. Just going, and so the hand wiping is more a splitch, 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 and it sends more foam everywhere. It's just like, oh, her coat.
Cav needed to repair it anyway.
Maybe the spray foam has like a soaping effect, so it cleans it.
This episode is just like the tragedy of the coats.
That's why Cav doesn't wear a coat.
That's why Cav doesn't wear a coat.
Yeah. Okay, so technically that brings us to an NPC slot, but the NPC is now dead, so that brings us to a PC slot, and we've got three minions up.
And a Solonian.
Yep. We'll and a see Solonian. If we can fix that. I'm not optimistic, but we'll try. I will move to engaged with the minions and do some tail brawling.
All right.
Tail brawling is a valid verb.
Yes, I totally agree. It's just going to be the two setback, because one from environmental and just weirdness and slippery and all the other fun stuff, and one from melee defense.
I've also got one from guarded stance.
All right, yes.
So I'm, what's our destiny pool look like?
Half. It's like three light, four yep. dark.
Balance.
Can I flip one of those? Because I'm rolling against three setbacks and two purples. All right, so with all the chaos going on around her, Barrowin makes her way through the clouds of foam, sort of keeping herself in a defensive posture because she's not really sure if somebody's going to pop out of a pile of foam and punch her. And then when she finally...
That seems fair.
Does find somebody she wants to punch or tail whip, she gives it a shot. Hey!
Nice.
And somehow she manages to land a hit, one success and one threat, which is unfortunately not enough to knock anybody down. So that's going to be a whopping like 3 damage. So I'm not optimistic that that's going to do anything.
Sadly not. That does not get through their soak. It actually, from the looks of it, they actually do have pretty hefty armor on, and that it hits them all in like their upper thigh, but yeah, it doesn't look like it was enough to actually knock them down or really make them notice.
Yeah, she just tries to whip her tail at them, and nothing appreciable happens except for some foam probably goes up everywhere. What do you want to do with the one threat?
Foam gets in your eye.
I'm just going with, like, now there's a foam hat on you.
Okay. That's fair. Like
just
and a beard and a mustache.
Like, spinning around, yeah. Now it's like a just your head completely covered in foam.
She's just kind of a, like, a foam golem now.
Oh, pretty much, yeah.
Can you imagine us walking through the streets after this?
These are your heroes of the Hydean
Way. The Hydean Way.
So then we come back to the start of a round.
Yes.
So I have 2 votes. I would kind of love to see Vistrana redeem himself. Or if we want an ineffective option, Cav is not going to is the least effective in a brawl, period. Do we want effectiveness? Or do we want ridiculousness?
Do we want effectiveness or do we want more hilarity?
I feel like we want to move on.
Yeah, that's kind of, so effectiveness would kind of...
All right, then everybody not Cav go.
Does anybody have a strong feeling?
I was going to pull him out of the foam and just try and get rid of him, but I think it'd be cool if Vistrana wanted to do something.
I think it's actually fine if you wanted to finish it off, because then, like, Vistrana did Jack in this fight and it kind of, like, makes sense.
Vistrana beat the living daylights out of the boss.
Yeah, if it wasn't for Vistrana, there's no way that one hit would have actually done anything.
So I just want to get into engaged question. If I'm engaged with my friends, do they have to roll fear checks?
No, they don't.
Okay. So I just want to get into the mess and just say, excuse me, from up top, like leaning over, since they're all flailing around in the ground like this is some creepy mud pit.
Yeah, their will and their cunning are the same, so. And you have 2 ranks. Are you wanting to upgrade?
What do you guys think?
Yes.
Go for it.
All right. Do we want to upgrade this, or do we want to upgrade the melee roll that will probably follow?
Yeah, you've got 2.
All right, let's upgrade this and see what happens. 2 ranks. That would be, what, the green and the yellow, and then against whatever.
Yeah, if you want to do it that way, roll green and a yellow against 2 purple.
Oh, I guess you would be rolling it, so it'd be a purple and a red.
Hmm.
So.
Well, they got 1 threat off of that, which means they did not pass, which means, yeah, they're checking out. They take a look at their team leader, look at the other person that's laying face down. They notice that they're right by the exit, and they decide to avail themselves of said set of double doors.
Okay. I support your phrasing there.
What happened? 1 second, Cav was slicing. The next, this.
Cav will look up, look at how disgusting the party is and how disgusting the diner now is, look at the waitstaff and say, may we have that to go?
Smash cut.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, smash cut. There's
I wanna
like
steal
a to-go box.
Just so you know. I want to steal the Barabel's comm. His comlink.
Okay.
And I look at the waitstaff and say, you can put this on his tab.
So, yeah, you've got Billy walking up with a new comlink. Everyone else just, like, these 4 foam golems walking up the ramp to the sky on fire. Vrebo's there just scratching at the, like, weird mohawk that he's got. The, like, green thingy. And it's like, What did you do? What happened?
The crew is having a very interesting day, Rebo.
And just looking at you, just completely, what did you do?
Did we miss anything interesting?
No. Well, there was someone trying to sell us futures in some weird thing about small teddy bear people things. I don't really remember what it was, but yeah, no, there was just that one messenger.
Vestrano, why don't you take the refresher first? Cav thinks Vestrano may be a bit quicker than either Berwin or Cav.
Serrano's just looking pained, like, down at the jacket.
Cav can take care of that.
All right, thank you. I think Vestrano will just, like, delicately sort of take it off and kind of fold it, hand it over. Terribly sorry, I messed it up.
It's okay. It's Vestrano's jacket.
It's still a lovely, lovely garment. All right, I'm going to go.
As Vestrano has handed Cav his jacket, Billy looks sadly down at hers. Cav?
Yes, Billy?
Might I employ you to aid me in the salvaging of my vestment?
Cav would be happy to, Billy. Would Billy also like help being hosed down?
I have a fine reach with my arms, but thank you. You should attend to your family.
Very well.
Billy turns to Berwin. You have something...
everywhere?
Gestures at her. You just gestured to all of me.
So does Billy actually take off her coat and hand it to Cav?
I think she's going to clean it first.
Okay.
Like, get the bulk of the gunk off. Wait. Okay, so Berwin is more ferret than otter? Because I know we make lots of otter jokes.
It generally depends on who's drawing the Salonians.
Well, because, I mean, how convenient would it be if you were more otter than ferret? I mean, even otters might be able to. You could just find a pool somewhere, just whoosh in, since you got that nice tight fur.
Yeah, they're definitely, Salonians are definitely burrowers rather than swimmers. So in that regard, they're more like something that's not an otter.
Although, didn't you have a swim speed with a different Salonian in the D20 version?
Yes, I do believe the D20 version gives Salonians a swim speed. But I think that was not like backed up anything in canon, just it was something they decided was a thing.
So probably another smash cut, unless we need any scenes before we come back together on the job.
Yeah, I don't
so,
feel like I need
yeah,
to
no,
roll
I've
shower.
Got no.
No.
I don't know.
Two failures and a despair.
All right.
I'm just crying in the shower over the jacket.
We've all had those days.
Yeah, like just sort of the quickest of all shower montages. There's just everyone. There's Vestrano, there's Kev, there's...
who wanders out with a towel around their head, you know, cleaning out their ear.
I was just going to say, there's that awkward scene where Vestrano comes out with just the towel wrapped around his waist because he's used to hanging out with gladiators and just, like, nonchalantly walks to his quarters, shirtless.
Kev is just staring from the, from like, the living room, doesn't say anything.
Can Gans blush?
Exactly.
Yeah. Door closes. Kev just... quietly returns to cleaning K6's photoscepter of gunk.
Yeah, like Reba would have been helping out cleaning up the K's.
Cav would be happy for the assistance.
I'm assuming that one of the other things that would have tried to happen is afterwards, Cav would be trying to take a quick look at retracing their steps and getting into the Soror net again. But, so Cav is attempting to get in, going through all the things that had previously worked, and getting into where things had just gone horribly, horribly wrong. Now, when you get to the error page, there is no longer a error page there. It's no longer a 404 message. It's a proper working accident indemnity form.
Berwin, Cav is sorry to say that the sorority has covered their tracks. The crew won't be able to acquire any more information from Sororinet.
Well, we have what Creezo told us to go on, so hopefully that will be enough to get us a little closer.
I did, while we were in the diner, acquire this. She offers the comm link from the Barabel. Could we perhaps use it to track them?
It's possible. Most comm links have a relatively short range.
And Ben, does this look like Cav will take it if Billy offers it? And is this like a traditional comm link? Like it's, you know, restricted to that? What is it, like 100-kilometer radius or something?
Yeah, it looks to be that wherever it was connecting to is most likely in this city. It could be like slightly outside of the crater, but it's most likely inside the city.
Okay. Can you trace back a comm number? That feels more modern than it does feels Star Wars to me, but
it does feel Star Wars-y, but to do it would require using the Sky on Fire to do it, it would still be a pain.
I feel like there's some gear somewhere that's like for comm tracing. I don't.
Yeah, that sounds a bit right. So just sort of trying to flange that together would get pretty formidable of the difficulty.
You could do the old school thing, or you just call the number and listen to see what you hear.
Yeah, that's kind of plan B.
Like roll with like in Sneakers, where the guy's describing what it was like being stuck in the trunk. You know, so you pick up the ambient noises and whatnot.
I was just going to say, it might also just be useful for us to wait until somebody tries to call it. And
that's true as well.
While we do other things.
In that case, I think Cav will hand it back to Billy rather than Barrowin, because Cav knows Barrowin won't lie. But Billy might.
Fair enough.
When someone calls this number, answer it, Billy.
This I can do.
If Cav does the medicine check on Vistrano to heal wounds, can Vistrano assist Cav, like give Cav guidance, or are we just using my intellect?
You'd just be using your intellect. Because I'm going to go with, it just doesn't feel right doing a medicine check on Vistrano using Vistrano's aid and not having it be the full 3 difficulty.
That's fair. I was just double checking before we go to do that. So first I'm just doing my discipline check for strain, and then I'll see about doing that roll. You're just at 2 wounds, right, Britt?
Yes.
Because healing yourself increases the difficulty twice, which changes what in this case is an easy check into doing a hard check.
It increases it
twice? So going from 1 to 3.
Ooh. Yeah. Yeah. Unless you're a droid can do mechanics checks on themselves without penalty.
We're dispassionate like that.
They also don't feel the pain. The boost is from the med pack using the proper tools. So that would be 6 wounds, Brit, and 2 strain. Because I rolled 5 successes, so 5 plus 1, and then
fantastic.
2 advantages for 2 strain. So Cav actually does a pretty good job with this. You get the impression this isn't the first wound Cav has patched up. Cav doesn't have any direct training, just seems to be pretty just educated enough and kind of intuitive enough to figure out how to seal up the wound, disinfect it, you know, make sure it's taken care of.
Is that better?
Yes, thank you very much. You've got good hands at this.
This Gand has had some practice, but before Vistrano showed up, this Gand acted as the medic for the crew.
That makes a lot of sense.
This Gand is sorry that Vistrano was injured. This Gand had hoped that this Gand's work would protect Vistrano, but
I think Vistrano will just try to silence Cav's little flustering by reaching up and touching them on the elbow, just kind of kindly.
Cav just like freezes in place.
You did very well. You pulled me underneath that table. It was very quick thinking.
Thank you, Vistrano.
And Cav will kind of awkwardly put some of the tools back in the med pack, fumbles a bit, and then just goes ahead and leaves that last handful Cav didn't put back into place. And we'll walk away.
All right. So, looking up with the basic pictures you've got of Seleucami, just sort of going through the different hollows that, while everyone's cleaning up, Vreba's sort of going through, pulls up a, on the hollow table, there's a picture of Blackwing Crater and distances to different places. The one that's highlighted and sort of bolded is that in the southwest direction is Tulukamai, where you are, at 250 kilometers. As you're taking a look, you can almost see, like, the top of this is, it's almost entirely treed in. It, where this imaging is going, you can see, like, a little bit of flashes of reflection underneath, but it looks like from whatever took this scan, the top of the entire crater is pretty much entirely a jungle. It looks amazingly wet, which, like, so Lukumai itself has a fair chunk of surface water, just, like, barely on the surface, not oceans. But this crater looks, going from, like, steep plains to being just absolute, like, almost the treed marshlands of, say, northern Florida or Louisiana. Like, we're talking dense and not something that you'd really want to get. Landing a ship in there is going to be a pain. Possibly literal.
Berwin, do you think the crew could rent another speeder?
I mean, we could. I'm a little worried about being that far from the ship, though.
Yes, but it would be difficult to get the ship there. Vreba!
Yes?
Has Vreba ever landed in a dense jungle before?
There was a trench. No, the Trenchodons landed there. No. It was. Wait, no. Oh. No. Sorry.
I've landed in a dense jungle, thank you very much.
Really? That's very impressive.
And does Berwin want to take the Sky on Fire in?
Want to?
Can the crew rent machetes first? Cav already has a fedora.
Oh my goodness.
You might be right. We may need some gear. But I would feel more comfortable if the ship were closer to the crater. I understand that's not going to be easy to pull off, but I'll...
If the group wanted to drive a speeder out, I could finish off everything out here, and then I could fly the Sky on Fire to the edge of the crater, and then you'd have a speeder around to get around inside the crater, but then the Sky on Fire is nearish by.
Actually, maybe we don't need the speeder. Maybe we just need some rope.
Excuse, Cap?
Berwin is going to look very excited about this because it's the cleverest idea she's ever come up with.
Oh my Are goodness. You... That bodes well.
Oh no, we're doomed.
Are you implying that we rappel down from the Sky on Fire?
Yeah, Vreba can hold station while we just throw some ropes out the hatch and get down to the ground, and then he can just take the ship and wait for us to call him. He'll just wait nearby. You know, if he can find somewhere to land it, great. If he can't, he'll just hover somewhere out of the way.
Cav raises a hand.
This is flawless. What?
Can Berwin teach Cav how to climb a rope?
No, you're climbing down the rope. You don't even have to really know how to do that.
Perhaps to survive, it may be necessary to know.
I mean, you just don't let go of it. You just, you know. She makes wild climbing down a rope motions with her hands.
But what does the being do with their legs?
You grip the rope with your feet.
What?
I don't think a Gand would. Doug, maybe.
Cav is not that kind of insect.
No, I think this sounds like a brilliant plan. I think I can show you what to do with your legs, Cav. It's fine. This sounds... Yes, I think we can do this.
Was there a question for me? I don't quite...
There was. I was gonna see about seeing how confident I was that we weren't already on their list. And if I was relatively confident, just suggest we take the tour bus in.
That would probably limit the gear we could bring in, right?
That it would. That is an attempt that you could make.
So I figured I'd just start with a streetwise check just to kind of see where I thought, how comfortable I was with the idea of...
I mean, there is a number that you can call for a Selyu quest that does supposedly run tours out there.
Yeah, but I mean, since we just kind of had a throwdown with a couple of their mooks.
Yeah, well, no, I'm going on that they don't know who
they
it was.
They just know that it happened.
Physically? Maybe? Yeah.
Okay. I mean, they did get away, though. We didn't kill them, so...
Well, yeah, but do they have an idea of who you are? And you did kill their boss.
This is a fairly metropolitan area. I mean, there's a lot of droids and other species.
Although... Salonians are pretty rare, and Billy is probably essentially unique.
Okay, so I'm just going to cut back to the conversation. Billy will raise her hand, like she does when she has a comment to make.
Thank you for the support, Vestrano. Billy, you have a question.
Why don't we just have them bring us in?
Excuse, Kev?
Come see the Blackwind Crater. It's the trip of a lifetime.
Is Billy proposing that the crew gets captured? Cav knew a Rodian once, where that was that Rodian's favorite plan. Cav was not a fan.
No, no, no. She holds up a flimsy plast of the advertisement. And then she points and she says again, come see the Blackwind Crater. It's the trip of a lifetime.
I think Vestrano's eyes are going to light up. Cav, how many of those flowered shirts do you have?
Oh no.
Oh my god. I changed my mind. I love where this is going.
Quite a few. Why?
Smash cut, we're on a bus.
Please tell me we're all wearing sunglasses all wearing flower. The lion shirts.
All four of us.
If we're actually doing that, that's the place to end the episode.
Sorry.
I'm just going to wait for people to start being able to breathe first.
I'm good.
Okay, so sadly, no.
Oh.
What's going to happen is much more of a smash cut to... There's the five of you sitting around as it's on speaker comms. You get to the automatic voice thing. It's like, thank you for choosing an adventure on Blackwing Crater. We're sorry. All of our charters are filled for the next 3 months. We will be able to fill you in on a first-come, first-served basis as seats become available. If you please enter your comm frequency here, we will get back to you as soon as possible.
Please tell me our scene is the four of us standing around like the hollow table or whatever, listening to this. All of us are wearing the floral shirts and the sunglasses with our luggage packed. And there's that moment where like one of you just like pulls off your sunglasses, like, well, that plan's shy.
I had high hopes for it as well.
Back to the rope plan then.
I guess we have to fall back on plan B. B for Barrowin.
Mine would have been plan B as well then. B for Billy.
Okay, the second plan B. We had two plan Bs.
Wouldn't mine have been the second plan B since your rope spit? Never mind.
Cav is gonna go buy some machetes.
Oh my gosh, I just... we need to talk to whoever does our fan art and just have them do floral shirts.
Oh god.
All
right.
Okay.
See, my favorite is the idea of Billy wearing the floral shirt and the sunglasses, even though Billy doesn't have anything else really.
Yeah, that's kind of what I'm thinking. It's like, yeah, just the four in the Hawaiian shirts. That's just amazing.
Then, like, as we're starting to walk away, like, oh, well, that was a lost plan. Rebo comes out dressed the same, like, oh, we're not doing that. Rebo, you weren't coming with.
I'm more thinking it's like, wow, this fits just wonderfully in these shades. I've been looking for some like this for a while now. Thank you, Kev.
Fine, Rebo can have them. Cav can't fit in that shirt anymore anyway.
Too many biscuits?
This Gan would rather not comment.
And believe me, you should be happy that this Gan is not commenting.
Alright, so the question somewhat swings back to, how does thou want to get in to Black
not
Liberator?
By ropes.
Why not by ropes?
With my one agility and knowing what fall damage does in this system.
We'll just tie you to it and lower it. It's fine. I mean, we'll make sure to get, like, harnesses and stuff if it makes you feel better. We'll just make sure it's idiot-proof.
Perhaps we should revisit the speeder rental.
I still don't like how...
Cav, would you care to assist me for a moment?
Yes, Billy?
Takes Cav aside.
Do you remember how you said Vuren had taught you how to hotwire a speeder?
Yes, Billy.
Perhaps we should, rather than rent, borrow one.
Cav is willing to do that. But Bearwind seems really excited about the rope. And Cav wants to encourage Bearwind to think outside the box. It's good for her.
This is the time when I kind of wish we had a 3PO with the stats.
The chances of survival are...
unfortunately, I sold our protocol droid unit.
Well, you didn't sell it. You built it for someone else, but you know.
Yeah. The one that was only very, very briefly ours.
Cav soul, Cav's child.
As you wish.
Bearwind, let's get some rope and some supplies for the jungle.
Yes! Okay, let's do it. Cav, you're with me. Vistrano, what medicines are we going to need? Figure that out. Go buy them. Billy.
Yes.
I don't think I have a job for you right now.
I can protect the ship.
Yeah, do that. We'll be back soon.
In that case, I do kind of want to get the pilot space check for getting over to there, because you're going out getting this stuff and then coming right back.
Yep.
All right, so this is, I'm guessing, Brandon, because this would be a Barrowin and Vrebo piloting thing.
Yeah, it sounds about right. Flying there, looking for that. Trying to find a suitable place to drop people down is going to be a one purple and two red. Because this is a really dense canopy.
And I imagine we're also trying to stay as low as we can so as to avoid any sort of radar system they may have. Because flying low apparently stops that in Star Wars. Okay, so first question, is Vrebo just assisting me, or is he doing like the co-pilot maneuver or co-pilot action?
I'd figure he'd be co-piloting.
Okay, so he has to roll against, I think, a hard?
That sounds about right.
I believe it's rolling against a hard, and if he succeeds, it upgrades my check.
Average?
Okay, even better. The Sky on Fire has a zero handling, so no boost or setbacks from its maneuverability.
Which is handy.
It is nice for a freighter of this size.
His pilot space is one yellow, two green.
This is Vrebo. Hey, Vrebo is pretty good at co-piloting. He's got three successes and an advantage. Okay, so since Vrebo succeeded at co-piloting, that upgrades my check once. Do we have any light side points left? I imagine this is more or less the last roll of the game. So I will flip a light side point to just make my pool three yellows versus two reds and a purple. Also, Vrebo had one advantage. Could he use that to just pass me a boost? Maybe he's keeping an eye on the scanners. And
yeah.
So I've currently got yellow, 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 blue, red, red, purple. Okay, here we go. Epic piloting roll.
Well...
Wow, look at all those failures.
D1. Why?
So, Barrowin's super epic piloting role with all of this assistance and stuff comes out to a single advantage.
You can't blame Cav this time if we crash.
Watch me.
The way that these craters seem to be, it's almost like Up or The Lost World. Like, the book, not the Crichton thing.
Gotcha.
What's around is, it seems like it's a pretty impenetrable wall around the crater itself. As Berwyn and Vreba were flying over, you could feel the thermal shift of being outside the plane to inside the crater, and like there was an updraft going around, and the entire inside of this crater is just like a couple degrees warmer than outside, and that's just the air about 100, 200 feet up. Down there, it's got to be like 10, 20 degrees above what it is everywhere else. Like, there's, you figure that there's actually a hot spring underneath, and that's one of the reasons why everything is like so watery. But in doing so, yeah, you're flying around. You can, it's not that hard to land on the outside. It's then the scrambling down the sides of this cliff to get to the edge. And you can see a few of the canyons that lead in. So Lukumai itself has these really weird sort of trees, sort of rock things that are like a half kilometer high and bulbous, and they're not exactly trees, but they're something. And they look actually really, really gross. And they're fairly common. That's kind of what their farce outside of this is. Inside, this is like classic. I'd almost go with like dinosaur level outside. Or dinosaur level trees. Like it's mostly ferns, very simple plants, and really, really, really humid and hot. And like there's a few rivers and canyons that you can get into, because outside the crater it's pretty dry, and where a river actually runs, it chews down into this stone very, very quickly. So if you're wanting to like trace in along one of these, it would be not silly bad for the it's not quite roads going in, but it almost is.
Sure. Well, that sounds as good as an idea as anything.
And we've got rope.
Yep. And machetes. Yeah, well, I'll turn over control to Vreebo. Just keep it in park until we're down. Then we'll open up the hatch, or the ramp, and
Berwyn.
What?
That is a long way down.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Heroes of the Hydean Way. You can find show updates on Twitter at The Hydean Way, and you can find me, Ben, on Twitter at Deuterium Ice.
You can find me, Christine, and Cav on Twitter at 12th Night. That's 12th and Night with a K.
You can find me, Brandon, on Twitter at Blue of the Kin.
I am at Leslie GS. I'm Leslie.
And I'm Britt at Atomic Firebird.
We are all at thehydeanway.com, where you can find previous episodes and our sister podcast, Tales from the Hydean Way.
Our podcasts are on iTunes, Stitcher, Spotify, and Google Podcasts, where you can find more episodes and help us out by rating and reviewing the show.
We're also on Facebook as Heroes of the Hydean Way. You can holocom us at heroes@thehydeanway.com.
If you like what we do and want to support the show, you can support us on patreon.com/thehydeanway.
Or you can donate a calf to us at ko-fi.com/thehydeanway.
All right. And then obligation.
Was it nobody's this time?
Yeah,
it was. We it was nobody's. 81. It was 91.
Okay, I had forgotten to remove my lowered strain threshold. Not that it mattered today.
The heck?
And again.
Rolled a 99.
Maybe the dice
are
like...
that I'm not rolling. Yeah, the dice are like, you've got enough problems as it is.
Yeah, you guys like you're rappelling into the jungle. Okay, you don't need any more complications.
We just want to see how that goes.